and it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in the Middle East. Today, May 25th, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis and with The Impossible Truth. Today we have a special guest. A special guest, and actually I'll call him a surprise guest. Because a wise man once said that if you have something to say to the world will listen. And we are the space in time that we decided to give it to the world and before God to open our heart and the mind to listen to what the wise men have to say. And we're very excited to hear what this gentleman has to say. And Kevin, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Orly, for having me on your show. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate that. And, you know, whatever I have read from your background was so interesting and so intriguing that I told Doug, put this guy on the show. I want to hear what he has to say. And please introduce yourself. Tell the audience what you do, where you come from, background, and what special thing that you think that they should know of. At this time in history?
Well, I am a Canadian citizen of Romanian origin. I immigrated to Canada at the age of 19. That was in 1985, and I've been here ever since. However, over the past 5 years, my activities went beyond my own personal life. I was an art dealer and a professional writer and analyst for various organizations in Asia and elsewhere. But then I began studying political philosophy at Oxford University, and my world changed because that event led to my uncovering of a program of surveillance and censorship 3 years prior to Edward Snowden releasing or spilling the beans on the surveillance state. I did that 3 years prior to him. And I paid a very heavy price because I was shortly after arrested and my life has been devastated. Afterwards, however, I continued my struggle for human rights and civil liberties. And I was motivated because not only was my life destroyed by the Canadian government and the international community, but also my family. My children were taken away from me illegally. They were literally ripped from my arms, as was my property, intellectual and otherwise. To these days, neither my children nor my property have been returned, and that's 4 years later. I have also not been able to sleep in my own bed for 4 years because I've been on the run, on the go. I have been in exile for 10 months in the U.S., for a year in Europe, imprisoned 6 times, held behind bars for almost a year. Now, again, upon my return to Canada on the 21st of April, I was once again arrested the day after I arrived in Canada. And my passport was confiscated the moment I entered the country at the airport on the false ground that it had been reported lost or stolen, which is, of course, a fabrication of truth.
Let's hold on. First of all, I feel such a pain that what the story is about. Before even getting into the midst of it, because children, family, a house is something that every human being has to have and own. And the fact that you got to go through all this and you're coming today on the show, to ask for a prayer. So I want to start with a prayer for you that whoever can listen and know and can understand how to help to get you out of it, we'll listen. Let's start with the prayer, because this sounds like this is a major event that's happening in your life, and I want to help you by giving you at least the opportunity to ask for help. But I want to emphasize that here this is a space where you can ask for help, and I want you to ask for help to people to hear, because people who listen are from all over the world, and somebody might come with a solution. So keep on going. Tell us what happened. What started it all? Why you have it? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. What started it all was my uncovering this program of surveillance and censorship, which was directed at foreigners in particular, and in general, and Muslims in particular. This program was operational in England and was about to be introduced throughout the European Union. It was already operational in England in two-thirds of its universities, and I uncovered it at Oxford in July of 2009, and 3 months, 3 or 4 months later in October at Leicester University as well. I exposed it. I challenged it at the European Court of Human Rights with a lawsuit against the UK. Of course, after having gone through various adjudication levels within the UK, and having met with nothing but whitewashes, but this is actually the beginning of the ordeal. Having gone through two or three years of homelessness and absolute hell in the absence of my children and various arrests, then I continued to dig deeper and deeper, and I uncovered that this program was merely an offshoot of the greater global depopulation policy, which affects every human being on this planet, all 7.2 billion of us, and involves every government on Earth, with the exception of perhaps four or five governments. And they're all involved in a program of population control that is genocidal and, in certain cases, eugenic. And that has prevented...
All right, hold on. Because this is amazing position you are holding right now in front of everybody, saying that you have discovered a mass program to for depopulation of on a global scale. So let's take your story and put it aside, okay, for a minute. Your hardship is very, very, incredible and understood. But let's say, how did you find this program, and what does it take to, what gave you the clue that you are touching something major? The clues to that, how it started.
It is a trail of crumbs that has probably about 200 stops, but primarily I was led to dig deeper and deeper by the refusal of the mass media and even the alternative media to touch the subject that I was exposing at the time, which is surveillance, the surveillance and censorship state. And that led to my exile in the U.S. And while in the U.S., I was asked by the Oslo Times, which is an English publication in Norway, to write a series on human rights. And as I began digging deep and trying to uncover how human rights have been usurped, and the decline of our civil liberties has come to touch on all of us over the past 10 years. By the time I wrote the third article, it just clicked that there's only one issue on this globe that affects every government and would lock every government in this conspiracy of silence, if you want, this veil of silence, and that is population control. And then I started looking for the evidence, and of course, as I published my first article on this subject, it was refused even by the Oslo Times, which immediately stopped any and all communications with me. I had also appealed to various countries to seek political asylum. None of them responded because every country is involved in this program, and that only confirmed further the validity of my expose.
Kevin, sweetie, when you say population control, because it's saying that human population control is the practice of artificially altering the rate of growth of human population. Is that what you're talking about, or you're talking about something else?
This program of population control aims at subverting the reproductive system and reducing fertility to below 2 children per woman. Of course, you cannot do this in any other way other than through the basic elements of life. So they are poisoning us through the basic elements of life, to reduce human fertility to below replacement level, and this has dire consequences that go far beyond the just the reproductive system, because it affects the entire endocrine system, and it is the result of all of the illnesses of affluence that we see in the Western world and beyond, in the throughout the developing world, and now throughout the developed world, and now increasingly throughout the developing world, because the methods have been expanded to include almost every country on Earth. Yes, this is the first goal of the program of depopulation, to reduce human fertility down to replacement level, or 2 children per woman. The second phase is to ensure that the global population peaks at 9 billion at most by 2040 or 2050 at the latest. And then the third phase of this global population control program involves a steady decline to levels that are sustainable. In several countries, European countries and Japan, the third phase has already begun, because peak population has already been reached 10, 15 years ago, and the populations are in abrupt decline, and in many countries such as Italy and Japan and elsewhere, and Eastern
Right.
Europe as well. Those are the
Now,
three
I
aspects.
know. Let me ask. Are they talking about injection of some sort, or giving some kind? Because to control fertility, if I'm correct, you need to actually inject a woman with something, or give her some pills, or what kind of method? Because what makes it so incredibly dangerous to the world? Because what you're saying, something it means that something. Well, of course, you don't want the mass scale to the world to be controlled, but if they're trying to, I don't know, it's like having birth control of some sort. What is the problem?
Involuntary sterilization through vaccination is one of the methods used. It's what I called a biological method of population control, but that is
Okay.
reserved. It is reserved primarily for the developing world, where there is no infrastructure for instance, water treatment plants, and the population cannot be chemically sterilized through the application of fluoride in the drinking water, or through the use of bisphenol A plastics in bottling and also in food wrapping. Throughout the Western world, where there is an infrastructure and people can afford to buy food and water, bottled water, for instance, chemical methods prevail. And chemical methods, the oldest and the most prevalent one, and the most effective and cheapest one, is fluoridation, and that happens either through the fluoridation of the tap water, fluoridation of bottled water, where people are used to drinking bottled water, they don't drink tap water, fluoridation of salt or milk in specific countries, and also through direct applications of fluoride in the mouth through the dental programs, especially in northern European countries, where dental programs are covered by the medical service, by medical insurance, and it is so it's everybody's covered, but they're also compulsory, and they're compulsory because people need to be sterilized through these direct applications in the mouth of fluoride veneers. So there are other methods that are now spreading, and the
So
largest.
let's keep on thinking. Why you become so dangerous by discovering this? This is China does it openly. Is that some secret plan that you tap into that the world didn't know about? Because it seems like the population control is another developed method of birth control for the masses. I of course I think that every woman has the right to have as many children she wants in a different area of the world. It's probably influenced by the food supply that they have, and that's the danger. But the question is, how you become such a threat to anybody to have you go through all of this?
Well,
What did you do so bad?
this program of population control represents the framework for international peace. It is what has kept the world from bursting into a third world war. And this program began in 1945 and has two pillars. One is the population control, and the other one is the globalization. And the rationale for this is very simple. You control the population in every country, which is the responsibility of every country towards the international community and peaceful cohabitation. Then you can live within your national means, within the resources that you have, within your own borders, and you don't need to start wars of necessity. And this program has been imposed on the developing nations because they have much higher consumptions. Then on the developed nations because they have much higher consumptions per capita, and then gradually as developing nations began industrializing, it has engulfed the rest of the world. And without this program in place, which obviously operates outside the democratic checks and balances and in violation of the rule of law because it constitutes genocide according to the Genocide Convention, this program, for better or worse, has kept the peace and has prevented our nuclear annihilation through a confrontation between nuclear armed powers such as the United States, Russia, India, Pakistan, the UK, France, Israel, and I suspect those are the only nuclear powers. So it was implemented first and foremost in order to prevent us from a third world war and therefore from nuclear annihilation. But then its ambit began to grow as it became clear that the world is under threat of environmental devastation and resource scarcity. So in the 1970s, the program of population control was accelerated. Under the excuse that, the justification, which is a rightful justification, that the world is running out of resources, they're becoming more and more scarce, and therefore we have to control population even more fiercely in order to ensure that there are enough resources to go around and we don't run out of vital resources such as oil, water, and certain rare metals. And more recently, in the 1990s, the program once again was expanded because it became clear that the global population had already reached very, very high levels, and global consumption is extraordinarily high and unsustainable for the Earth, and that we are threatening the Earth with environmental devastation. And already we are... we are surpassing or violating several planetary boundaries and are threatening the very existence of life on Earth. So the program has grown from decade to decade. It has become more and more radical, more and more heartless, and it sickens billions of people, and it has already sterilized 25% of the European population, 20% of the North American population, and if it continues, within 20 years, half the population, half the global population will be sterile, which means that these genetic lines will be once and for all shut down, and nobody and no God will ever be able to bring them back, which is genocide.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Kevin, first of all, in the back of my mind, I always heard, I heard about the situation and about the global, population, that we need to see what we can do, and the resource of food that is becoming scarce. And listening to you, if it's a program that is implemented and there is a global consensus, we are actually have to start the debate. We have to talk about it. Making your life miserable is not right by you, and it's not right by anyone that talk about it. You need to understand, and I'm talking to the audience, you guys need to understand that when a person that is brilliant, is smart, like Kevin sounds to be, and I'm sure he is, bring along a situation like that, he doesn't need to be punished. He doesn't need to be run after. His family doesn't need to be broken because he's caring for the world, world health, and et cetera. There is things that, we as people in the world who speak our mind have to understand that some kind of information is really, really incredible, and not everybody can, can do anything about it. Of course, you cannot change it. You can just expose it. Now, is exposing it, is exposing it for the last 4 years, probably. But if instead of running him, if the U.S. will, open his, the nice, reasoning, and will give him a safe haven, we'll start talking about it. Because what's the big deal? It's not going to go away. It's, somebody, the genie's out of the bottle. It's out. It's a, by persecuting people or by running after them, it's not going to help. I want you, Kevin, to understand that, once you talk about it, we're going to start a debating. Is that something we're doing? What are we doing to the universe in general? We're trying to cure it. We're trying to bring it to a better state. And we need to, cut our mistakes. Of course, mistakes are done. We're not going to go, in the world, there is no method of punishment of global scale to say, hey, those people are responsible. Nobody is responsible. Bad decisions were made. Now, instead of, going after Kevin, we need to start thinking how we're going to reverse it and how we're going to stop it. I heard some sort of this kind of, medicine that was given to some black population in Israel, and we all were like surprised and we were upset. But yes. I didn't know that it's on a mass scale. So now, Kevin, first of all, thank you for bringing it to us. We are here with the love of humanity, and we love God, and we love every creature that He creates. And we are really not, we are surprised that they're giving you such a hard time. So I want you first to plead to the world to ask, you want your life back. I want you to ask for your life back. Please, let's pray for that.
I want first and foremost to have my children back, because my children are my life. It is unbecoming of any society, even the most rotten societies, and of any ideology, even the most perfect ideology, to resort to such means where they would use my children as leverage to stop me from pursuing the truth. Because all I have done is speak the truth so that the truth can set us free. And I have been the truth sanctuary for the past 3 years in a world that is that has lived by lies and deception. However, this is the paradox here. Population control is an absolute necessity, and I don't dispute this. Once you look at the facts that the population doubles every 30 years, you realize that we are already at 7 billion, already exceeding all planetary resources, and within 30 years we would be at 14 billion, and we would therefore collapse into absolute disaster without population control. So there's only, we know the objective is inevitable, but there are two ways of doing this, either covertly or overtly. Having shut down all covert methods of depopulation because I exposed their modus operandi, they can no longer proceed covertly. They've tried their utmost to stop me by destroying my life and my family, and they have not succeeded because nobody can stop the truth for very long. And now we have the advantage of the internet and the worldwide communication, and this is what has helped me to bypass all of these blocks and checks on freedom of speech with respect to this program of this highly covert and secretive program of population control. So now there's only one option left. We pursue this openly. And to pursue this openly, and I have been asking global policymakers and heads of state now for the last year, and I have done so openly through addressing each and every one through open letters and through statistical and demographic data showing how they have proceeded with population control in their country, who are the people responsible, since when, and by what methods, so that nobody can hide. And I have published this in one huge book that has over 1,000 pages called Peace Without Poison. And in this book, I ask each and every head of state to stop covertly poisoning us and to empower us so that we have the knowledge necessary and the means to restrict our own fertility to replacement level fertility, that is to 2 children, to do it through safe methods and through voluntary methods. and buttressed by the rule of law, a rule of law that would be global, that would apply to every individual on this planet. Because obviously, regardless of where you are, you would be consuming planetary resources, and we only have one planet. So we can
Right.
no longer think in national terms. Borders make no sense anymore. We have to act in concord internationally, globally. And it is the responsibility of every citizen from now on to pursue this overtly, and the responsibility of the states to stop covertly poisoning us, and therefore reserving the future for themselves by shutting us out of procreation, which is completely unacceptable. There isn't even a name for this crime in any statute, be it a national legal statute or an international one. I have yet to find a name for this this global crime. It is unacceptable, and I knew that if it cost me my life, then so be it. I'm more than willing to give up my life if
no,
I can
no,
change
no,
course.
No, 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 no. I think that your journey arrived to the post where we want to start fixing it, not sacrifice. You sacrificed enough by 4 years of devastation for your own life, for your children's life, to help the rest of the world understand what's at stake and what's happening. And actually, this book, Peace Without Poison, sounds like a great idea. I really calling everybody, please have mercy, have grace, give this man his life back when he's helping, and start thinking together on a method to do right before humanity, because we all, we all take from the same planet, as he says. Kevin, I want to give you a big hug, a virtual hug, to tell you how I care and I appreciate what you did for the universe and for humankind, and history will show probably if we'll be smart enough to take this as a point in history to turn the page on the past and start fixing it. And I hope that before, soon enough, you'll be going back to your children and home, and you will be restored all your rightful freedom like you deserve. And you can start working on solution instead of running from them. All right?
Thank you, Orly. I feel your empathy, and I truly appreciate it. Yes, we cannot run away from this. We have to face the reality, governments and people, and we have to join hands and make sure that we don't work against one another, and we don't work against, or rather just through the narrow interest of nation states or religions or any other kind of divisions that exist in the world today. This is a unifier. This is the great unifier, whether we like it or not.
Right.
Because if we don't succeed in this respect, we will have failed in every other respect, regardless of what we do. And all of our efforts will be futile.
We will succeed, God willing. We will, because once we know, and this program called The Impossible Truth, not for nothing. It's that impossible truth we have to face. That moment where you face it and you need to know what we're going to do about it. So let's bless you and let's pray for you, for your safe return home to your children and wife and everything. And I hope that the world will be kind to you from now on, like you are kind to her. Okay?
I hope so too, and I pray every day. I go to bed thinking about my children, and I wake up thinking about them. And in the meantime, I do what it takes to change the world, because without changing the world, my children are not safe. And I would not be able to face my children without being able to stand, proud and tall in front of them and say, I've done everything possible to ensure that your future is safe. And now I can do so.
How many children do you have?
I have two boys, 10 years old and 5 years old. They're very young.
Give me tell us their name.
Ben and Oliver.
Ben and Oliver.
Yes.
God bless them. God bless them. I hope that Ben and Oliver, and their mommy name?
Her mommy's name is Cindy.
Cindy. I hope that you're going to have a fun reunion soon, God willing. I'm calling everybody to help this guy restore his life. And if there is a sense in this world, please let's make it, because it's about time. Thank you so much for coming. And we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Orly.
And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. We just listened to an incredible story of Kevin. And you wrote Peace Without Poison. Sounds great. The story of how the population of the world is taking place, which makes us think that, you know, the policy of yesterday are all revealed and we need to start cleaning our act. Now, the song you heard was from Cyprus. Cyprus representative to the Eurovision final that took place on Saturday night in, I think, in Austria. All the world was there except American ever since representative, but we had Australia this year. And Cyprus, for me, sounded like the best. It sounded like a song that I know forever. Something I should have done for you. His name is Johnny Karajanis, I think, is, you know, just look it up on YouTube, but, you know, from Cyprus, Eurovision 2015, the representative for Something I Should Have Done. And you will find the music, the performer, incredibly talented. He's from Cyprus. You guys in Hollywood, pay attention. Get an agent, sign him in. This guy is the tomorrow of the music. I don't know. He's young. He seems young. And this Eurovision was incredible this year because we had the performers of, you know, from Israel. We had a 16-year-old boy. His name is Nadav. And I want to let you listen to it. I have a few of them. So let's roll by them. I'll tell you what I think. Well, I think that we need to understand that, you know, communication in life is incredible and wonderful. And we'll let the music arrive when it arrives, all right? So let's keep on doing. The Eurovision is something that turned a little weird until, you know, in the last few years. Because weird, and, you know, being from living in the South for so long, being from a conservative household, I'm conservative, okay? I like right the way I like the core. Now, this Eurovision, we had a representation of with somebody that I don't know if it won the last year event or no, like some crisscross of a man and a woman with a beard, and it was something awful. I'm saying it. I have no prejudgment against anybody. I have no problem, but when you give me some weird, you know, things about women in a weird clothes or women looking weird, I get insulted. Because being a woman, I feel to protect the image that we send out, you know, as women. Every time I see a woman that she's all uncovered and dressed bad, you know, it's like women is. Come on, we have to respect it. And now they put on stage something weird. Let's not forget that, of course, Israel sent incredible talent, transvestite, but incredible talent a few years back. And I'm telling you, I saw him in the street. He looks completely like a girl. He looks better than many, many girls. He sings like a diva. He's a diva. And, you know, at least it's the confirmation of a womanhood doesn't transform. But to see a woman with a beard, it's really annoying. So by all means, you can take it any way you want. People think that, you know, you need to be fake. I'm not fake. I'm going to say it. Don't like that image. All right? It disturbed me constantly. And that was one disturbance that I didn't like. But I love what they had to show with the light that they featured. They had a light show that was out of this world. Didn't see it in America. Didn't see it before. The guy that won from Sweden. The guy that won from Sweden gave us a show with images that were incredible, because it was like he was sitting and there was like this graphic going around him. Bless their hearts. Bless the people's hearts when they find so much talent, such a beauty in art, such incredible life we can all have together if we could start appreciate this world and give it, you know, what we need. We need to stop messing with it. And messing it means how we can make more money. How can we make more food faster? And, you know, when you're talking about depopulation, I must come and bring back that issue that I have on my desk for a few months now. It's really sad, but we know that the world food supply is not balanced everywhere. It's known fact that some of the world use more and some don't have at all. We need to care for the rest of the world. And every time, you know, there is a problem, I say, hey, we didn't do our job caring. We need to do our job caring for those children who are dying from fame. I remember that people, you know, like Bill Gates were actually talking about helping the world and the hunger in the world. I now remember Bono doing a big festival. And there is nothing more incredible when people from the music, from the heart, come together to sing a song for the universe. It's those moments in history that will remind us that humanity is awesome. So now, are we going to turn this page in history and start fixing stuff? No, this guy told us how we're going to stop the population because we actually messed with the food. Now, how did we mess with the food? Of course, everybody knows that all over the world, we engineer the seeds that we for the food that we eat. Now, those seeds are engineered, and some of them, they become mutated. You know, they don't grow again. You know, if you eat an apple and the seeds inside, supposedly in all the, you know, all the stories, if you put the seeds, they'll grow another tree. That's how God created the universe. But they mess with those seeds to bring more seeds, I guess. I don't know what they did. We'll need to have an expert on that. But something I've been researching and asking, are we actually mutating those seeds, making them incapable of reproducing again? And what I heard is the story like that in India, they start coming, globalized companies came along and said to them, hey, why don't you get those seeds? You will have more crop and you will have more food to feed and you'll be richer. And those poor farmers, sure, they bought those seeds. They loan money for those seeds. The seeds did not fertilize always like they should, you know, but it's always, the success rate is always there upon God's wishes, always. So sure enough, they got, some of the farmers got those seeds, and the corporations, like they were supposed to, they owed money, and they got, you know, in debt. And the next year, they needed to buy more seeds, and they didn't have money. And meanwhile, the bank took over their land. So those farmers wanted to be richer. In the end, they become poor. Life. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to stop producing those? You know, I don't know. We don't know if the rate of the population and people get sicker more. Of course, we know that what's going on in the world is different, but let's do something. Let's start taking back our world. Let's have some music and we'll be right back. All right, and we are back. Those were the group from Italy that represented Italy in the Eurovision. It's not their song, but it's one of their. They're very popular. They're very good. And now we're going to listen to the other two songs that I picked for you because I wanted you to listen to something different. Because, in the world, music is something that connects us all. And when you find some good music, you need to join in. So let's go to the first one will be the one, the Golden Boy is Nadav is from Israel. Incredible. Sounds like Arabic music, but it's from Israel. And the next one will be the winner from Sweden, the guy that we told us. And the name of the song is The Hero is Are Us. So let's listen to those two segments. All right. that was much of flavor to the song. The Swedish one by Zonright and talent, and of course incredible graphics that joined it. So while we're waiting to hear to get the Swedish song, I wanted you all to pay attention to a situation we have on Temple Mount, Jerusalem, of course. We are actually receiving a letter that was sent to the Honorable Major of the Israeli Police in Jerusalem, who is asking, we need to ask the man to enforce law and order on Temple Mount, execution and judgment of High Court and cessation of discrimination against the Jews, interval, the letter date 5/11/15. When the High Court made a judgment in order to take a zero tolerance towards rioter and to use verbal violence between Jews and Arabs and enforce the law of righteously as follows. There will be zero tolerance of violence, riots, verbally or physically, whatever indeed, the role of the police in the difficult complex in Jerusalem needs to be the one to keep the peace. Okay, the deal is like this. Okay, let's talk Turkey. We have a holy site that is guarded by the mosque. There is a mosque. Okay, now the mosque has the grounds around, which belongs to international. It doesn't belong to the Muslim, it doesn't belong to the Jews, it's international. Right now we don't have any ownership because the United Nations is so clear, so smart. So what happens is anybody who wants to come to Holy Place, comes around with, the motion to be before God. And you walk on the ground and you start hearing women screaming and calling, to their godly words. Don't scream the name of God. You just pray for it, no? So we're asking the world to start asking the Muslim to tap, to their friends and say, we need to worship God and we need to do it carefully together when it's proper, okay? So now, let's not start with, this is my place, this is your place. There is a God, this is the Holy Land. The Holy Land, it belongs to God. It's holy, make it holy. This is a Jewish place. This is a Jewish sacred temple ruins. There is the Western Wall. The Western Wall is not the holy ground, the highest holy ground. The Temple Mount is the highest. Why they are doing it? Why they are ruining the peace? We don't want much right now. Right now, we are not asking much. You know, peace needs to come, and the days of the Messiah will be coming. But we need to have first. We have to have peace in of mind by walking on holy ground, sacred holy ground. Please, guys, just stop it. We need to come before God all. They're not going to stop coming. You're not going to stop being there. So let's just come to the conclusion that we need to be. You see, with all this crazy thing that we hear today, you know, coming in one place in the world together, all of us, it's the test of the universe. It's the test of God. What you don't understand? We need some quiet and peace. So if we can do that, we'll be the hero of our day. And that will bring us to the conclusion of this, with the conclusion of this amazing song from Sweden. And I wish him best, and I hope the world will listen to it. We are the hero of our day. So God bless you all. I love you. We're wrapping it today with a lot of prayer to God to forgive us all and be with us and protect you all wherever you are. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Remember, the soldier will fall for your freedom. So make it right. Make your life right and worthy before God. Thank you so much all for being here. We'll listen and we'll talk next week. God bless.